Hello and welcome to the LRM podcast, sponsored by Adrian Flux Insurance. I'm Martin Dominey.
And I'm Steve Miller.
And you join us for probably slightly less than an hour of chat about Land Rovers and everything to do with owning them. And today we're not in the Discovery, we're in my kitchen.
We are awkwardly between Christmas and New Year, which is always a funny old time. But we didn't even know what day it was today, did we?
No, we didn't. But when this goes live, it'll be New Year's Eve.
Yes.
Which is tomorrow.
Yes, it is.
Yes. So if you're in the cheese and chocolate coma like everyone else, I hope you're battling on through and finding some time to do Land Rover things, because it all helps.
I haven't eaten enough cheese this Christmas. I've just thought about that.
We've got some in the fridge if you want some.
Yeah, a bit of Stilton. To
bust out a cheese board.
Cheese and crackers while we're calling a podcast.
Yeah, oh, could you imagine? That would be a real pain to get the crunch of crackers out of the... out of the sound.
If you leave the crackers much longer, there'll be no crunch. I'll just be like, well, they get soggy and horrible.
Like a soft biscuit.
There's always that, in a selection, there's always those soft ones, aren't there?
Yeah.
I can't stand those ones.
Are they the sort of dark brown, shaped like a loaf of bread?
Yes.
The Hovis ones.
That's awful.
Do you not like them?
No.
Because the biscuit, the cracker selection we got, we didn't realise it's called Savoury Favourite, so it doesn't have any digestives in it, which is we thought was a shame, because we quite like a digestive with cheese.
Yeah, no, it's wrong.
What's your standpoint on chutneys and pickles?
Well, actually, we've done okay this year, because I was given some homemade stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
What variety?
Fig.
Fig?
Yeah.
Wow.
I thought it sounds horrible, doesn't it? Mind you, I don't mind a fig roll.
Yes. No, I love fig rolls.
Yeah, they're okay, but fig chutney, mate.
Banging?
Yeah.
Fig rolls.
I'll get you some.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to try it. Mm. They're still like only 60 or 70p a packet for a packet of fig rolls. Where else? Where do you see value like that?
Always in like Happy Shopper or somewhere like that.
Yeah, exactly. I think even in Tesco, they're reasonably cheap.
But anyway, we digress.
We do.
From the Land Rover goodness into fig roll.
Just for a change.
Did you at home, question that everyone's been thinking about.
Okay.
Because we discussed this probably a year ago. You weren't making your own Yorkshires, and you've hosted Christmas dinner for a few people?
Yep.
Did you not make your own Yorkshires?
No, I didn't.
Oh, wow.
I had too much. I had other culinary delights going.
And this was your excuse last year.
Yeah, I know it's a valid excuse. I just don't know why you put the time into creating something that doesn't taste of anything. It's just batter. It's just filler. It's just like...
Just filler.
It is.
If like David Isopon, P38, filler.
If you were to get rid of anything off a roast dinner, you would surely get rid of Yorkshire puddings, because they just don't taste of anything. The texture's nice, but they're just like... It's just like plain and boring.
You should... Make them with free-range eggs, so it's always nicer.
Yeah, but they still don't taste of anything.
Okay, don't bother them.
You could put garlic in them, maybe.
Why would you do that?
My father-in-law makes banging garlic Yorkshire pudding, but I haven't got the time for it.
No, fair enough.
But you'll be pleased to hear I didn't use frozen ones. I don't generally use frozen ones. They were fresh ones, but they only take 5 minutes in the oven.
Yeah, that's good.
By the time you've cooked all the other elements, the last thing you want to do is mess about putting batter in hot oil and all that nonsense.
Fair enough.
Good feed. I didn't enjoy Christmas dinner.
Well, thankfully, my wife can cook, and she made some Yorkshires.
Oh, as well as everything else?
Yeah. Well, no, it was a team effort.
Oh, right, okay.
Fair enough. I was a shoes chef, so I did all the peeling of the...
Bit of prep?
Yeah.
Fair enough. I prepped the night before this year, which I've never done before. I normally do it in the morning, but it does make life easier.
But you can do that with your batter mix for your Yorkshires.
Yeah, I just don't care.
It's supposed to be done longer. You don't just make it and then cook it.
Really?
You're supposed to sit in the fridge for a few hours, yeah.
Remind me when I care about Yorkshire pudding and I'll worry that.
Anyway, we haven't even spoken about Land Rovers yet.
No, we haven't, but we should, shouldn't we?
You've been out in the D5.
The Discovery.
It's still here.
It's still here, yeah. It's still here for another couple of weeks. And I think I mentioned in the last podcast, I asked the PR guys at Land Rover if they would be okay with me taking it greenlaning and camping in Wales, which is what I've been doing. Really good time. Took my mate Mark with me. He's got Discovery 3, so it was interesting for him to see how the Discovery range has evolved. And despite being on road tyres, we did Strata Florida in it. Absolutely cracking time. Bit of wading, bit of rock crawling. Incredibly capable car.
Did you need better tyres?
From a durability point of view, yes. Okay. Because I did cut a sidewall on the front left and had to put spare on the green lane.
They're really low profile, aren't they?
Well, they're 22-inch wheels. And I think there are 45 profile. I'd have to go out and look.
But they're low, I think.
Yeah, they are. But they're only, Pirelli Scorpion road tyres. And I couldn't believe how much grip there was. And obviously you've got your terrain response and you set all that. But the combination of the traction control and even, like I said, quite unsuitable tyres for the conditions, really, just how well it stuck and it didn't. It just didn't make a fuss about anything. Mike was in the passenger seat and he said, like, we were mostly with other defenders and a Discovery 3 and a Discovery 4, but it's so smooth and composed over huge rocks. He was like, I could have a cup of tea and a mug in my hand and it wouldn't be upset as you drive across. Yeah, it was a really, really, really impressive because I was a bit nervous about the tyre situation. And thankfully, when we did get the puncture, it was towards the end of the lane. So we swapped the spare over and then headed off and played it safe from there on because I didn't want to risk doing another tyre and being stuck. So, but no, absolutely fantastic.
I mean, last week's podcast was recorded on the way to back to Newbridge, pit 190 up.
That's it, yeah.
And just after we finished recording, the heavens opened, didn't they? And it absolutely threw it down. Torrential rain. What a car to be in those driving conditions. That was bad. That's as bad as it could be, isn't it?
I think so.
For downpours.
It's so, so refined and so, you're so isolated from everything outside. Mm. Even over really rough parts, over really big rocks and corrugated, surfaces and things like that. Whereas in a sort of an older Land Rover, you can sort of feel and hear the suspension moving and you're aware of what's going on. That thing, you're just totally, totally separated from it. It's so relaxing to drive.
Yeah. So I'm in two camps. There's a time and place for it, but I think when you're green laning, something a bit more authentic, like a Series 3, is so much more fun.
A bit more mechanical and a bit more analog. I completely agree. But
you almost need, but you need both in your life, don't you?
The reason I chose to take the Discovery was because A, I wanted to see how it would do, and B, because we had to leave early the morning after we'd camped. I knew that I wouldn't be that enthusiastic about driving 4 and a bit hours home in the Series 3 with all our stuff. So from that standpoint as well, you can drive it all day in really harsh conditions, jump in it and do a long, A roads, motorways, and get out of it and feel completely refreshed. And that's just,
Wouldn't be the case in your Series 3, as we found out on the way back from Nibu. cramped in the roof side. That was raining as well, wasn't it?
It was.
It was rust.
Must be something about going to Newbury.
Yeah.
But, actually, come back to an email. As we went into Strata, at one end of the lane, it's a really long lane, someone shouted. I had the window down. Someone shouted my name, and I couldn't see who it was. So I sort of shouted generic, Ella, mate, you're all right. They've got in touch. They've emailed. Harvey. Okay. Harvey Cope. He says, hello, Martin and Steve. My name's Harvey and I'm 22. I've listened to every podcast from day one and read endless magazines. I've just been listening to your podcast about the Discovery 5 today while on the Strata Florida Lane. I had to pull over for a line of Land Rovers and there you pass. I did shout your name. I wish I bumped into you later as we could have had a chat. I couldn't believe it. I was in my Discovery 1, which I've just returned from Morocco in after heading to the Sahara and then the Pyrenees for a month.
Cool.
Hope to see you guys at an event or even the LRM Fest next year. Enjoy your trip. And he sent some photos which haven't done that. Oh, there they are. Look at that.
Oh, yeah, cool.
That's a really smart Discovery. Whoa.
That looks a nice trip. Look at that.
That's wicked.
Yeah, no, that is cool.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Harvey. I'm sorry. I couldn't really tell where the voice was coming from. We were trying to keep out of everyone's way, as you'd have seen, because the passing places are
fairly busy on the lane, would it, that day?
It wasn't as busy as I thought it would be. Also, massive thanks to everyone at the other end of the lane who waited for me to change the wheel and get out of everyone's way, because if they'd all come the other, and met us, we would have had a problem because there was a lot of people waiting. So apologies if we held you up and thank you for being so patient. It was a very, very slick wheel change, though. We were like a Formula One pig crew on the green lane. Thankfully, where the tyre went, it sort of plateaued a little bit, so he had a flat surface to jack it up.
How did he get on with all the factory tools?
Well, actually, I made sure I was aware of where they were and familiar with them before we left, because I knew, well, I had an inkling, and so did Tristan from JLR, that I would be changing one of the wheels. And they're not too bad. The jack is a scissor jack, as you will have, you get in most sort of modern-ish cars.
Not ideal on green lanes, are they?
Not ideal. And like I say, had we had a problem somewhere less flat, it would have been pretty bad, because they do rely on a sturdy bit of flat ground. Locking wheel nut key was okay, to be fair. Easy to find. The only thing that was a bit of a, not a nightmare as such, but standard wheel braces, not great.
They're just too short.
They're built to be compact, aren't they? Which I get, but also they're just.
I don't think you'd undo the wheel nuts on my 90 with a standard short wheel brace.
No, probably not. And in fact, on Defenders, they
seem to get tighter.
They're like cranked around, and they're not very long. So to be fair, in the Series 3, that has a breaker bar in it with a socket on, and I will be putting one in the 110 when that's...
I always carry one, nice long breaker bar.
Yes.
7mm socket.
And you should too, which brings us beautifully... Oh,
do you like that? Well, segueing you into this.
You're like a professional radio.
Well, I knew what was coming up. I'm concerned to it.
So, have you seen a ratcheting breaker bar before?
No.
See, my friend's got one, and I've always silently admired it, but I didn't realise quite how affordable they are.
Okay.
Machinima do a Clark one. It's called the Clark Pro 398 half-inch breaker bar with a swivel head and a ratchet.
So, that's really handy.
Because obviously when you break wheel nuts off and suspension fixings and stuff like that, you need a breaker bar because you need the leverage, but also it's kind of a pain because you've got to keep repositioning the socket, you know, to get another swing on it.
Yeah, because it keeps hitting the ground.
Yeah, quite.
Annoying.
But this bad boy, there is no need for that, because it's got a ratchet built in, reversible ratchet, slimline handle, 7-position swivel head, so it locks in place. It doesn't just flop about.
Yes, yep.
Chrome vanadium. Tough and corrosion resistant. Slimline handle. And 600mm long, so plenty of leverage. And only, guess how much it is?
Oh, you put it on the spot now.
So it's, breaker bars are not mega cheap.
£60?
No. £35.98.
Oh, wow, okay.
What a bargain.
Yeah, that's decent.
I'm actually might order one of them with some of the... Yeah.
Get on it. Spend some money.
Yeah. I think that's a great bit of kit. And yeah, it'd be so much more... It'd be useful for so much more than just doing wheel nuts as well. So yeah, machinemark.co.uk. Clark Pro 398 half-inch swivel-headed ratcheting breaker bar. Get one of them. Put it in your Land Rover. Never have to deal with the factory wheel brace ever again.
Yeah, good idea.
Yeah, I really like that. But no, other than being thoroughly impressed with the Discovery 5 and doing a bit of camping and a bit of green laning, I've made reasonable progress on the 110, as you've just seen outside.
Yes, come on, loads.
I only popped out there for an hour last night and ended up spending about 3 hours out there, but I've got loads done.
Yeah, no, it has definitely come on. It's interesting because obviously you're putting an old conversion into a new conversion, aren't you, kind of thing.
Yeah, so...
The conversion kit that was in another car.
Yes, so that Discovery engine had previously been in a 90 or a 110 ex-military, so same spec as my current one, but I've only used elements of that because some of them weren't exactly... What's the word I'm looking for? Good.
Yeah, well, we saw that bracket, didn't we, on the airbox?
Yeah.
And... It looks like it was made in a farm. Like a farm engineering workshop. Agricultural, shall we say.
It's a bit of a bodge, isn't it?
I'd be chuffed with it if I made it.
Functional, but not exactly graceful.
It wouldn't look very factory if you used it. Let's put it that way.
So basically, the four bolts that would normally hold your steering box in place, you've got those holes mirrored on the other side of the chassis, on the passenger side chassis rail.
Yes.
Someone's used a bit of angle iron and a bit of plate to make a rudimentary bracket, and then they've welded a Range Rover Classic airbox to it. But it all sits at a really weird angle and it looks pretty rubbish,
doesn't it? 45 degrees hanging there to the rear of the...
Yeah, to cool it. Between the
sort of floating there
in the that sort of dead space between the radiator and the engine, which on a 200 TDI is cavernous, but it looks a bit. Yeah, I don't think I'm going to keep that.
Will you use an electric fan? Because your normal fan won't actually
so
do anything, will it? It'll be too far away from the.
I had considered fitting the fan cowl off the naturally aspirated engine because it's really long.
Yes.
But because it's a Discovery engine, the drive for the fan on the water pump is in the wrong place.
We're proud to partner with Adrian Flux, an insurance broker that specialises in covering all types of Land Rovers, including classic, ex-military, modified and Q-plated models. Adrian Flux offers a range of optional extras to make the policy your own and can provide cover for off-roading, green laning, agreed value and build-up cover. Plus, they even offer a discount of up to 15% for Owners Club members. Simply search Adrian Flux Land Rover Insurance for more information or call them directly on 0344 728 0417 for a quote.
Right.
So, yes. Yeah, because the Defender uses a different water pump setup, the fan would be in the right place if it was a Defender engine, but it isn't because it's a Discovery engine. So I think I am going to go for an electric fan.
So I use a Revitec fan on mine.
Yeah.
And then you can either put a, you can put a switch in side or you can do it on thermostat and you just...
Yeah.
Get it up to temperature and you can adjust it on like a screw or an inline.
That's what my V8's got. That's
okay.
Well, actually, no, that's got a really old Kenlow fan, but it's always worked really well. But TDIs, generally speaking, with the right thermostat in, don't really get hot.
No, my fan never kicked in.
No.
Ever.
No. So for now, I mean, until summer, I'll probably just run it around without a fan because they just don't get hot. Ever really. When you consider what Land Rovers are supposed to do, i.e. tow loads of weight in arduous conditions, running them around empty in the UK where it gets up to 30 like twice a year is not going to cause a problem. But I have got an electric fan, one came with that kit, so I'll eventually fit that on a switch, I think. But yeah, ticking along nicely, just intercooler pipe work and sort some sort of air box out. And it's exhaust. I need to do the exhaust. Dan's very kindly sending me a downpipe, so because he's going to start.
So demand engineering.
Yes, yeah. Dan at demand
engineering.
Who's starting to going to be starting to reproduce these conversion exhausts because obviously Steve Parker's doesn't exist anymore, and there's still people doing these engine swaps. He's going to go ahead and make really nice TIG welded stainless downpipes, which is really cool.
Yeah, because I've got that Steve Parker exhaust for mine, but it's mild steel and you sort of loath to put it back on because it's rusty.
I haven't seen the Steve Parker downpipe, but have you seen the one that came with that engine conversion?
No.
It is awful. It's like someone's got a straight piece of pipe, cut wedged sort of shapes out of it and then welded it together. It is.
So not a Steve Parker one, just a homemade one?
No, it's homemade.
I think. So I've got Steve Parker one.
Is it smooth and like?
Oh yes, factory. It looks factory.
Oh right.
Yeah.
I'll show you that one in a minute, and I'll put a picture on the socials as well because it is absolutely horrendous.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, all good fun. You've been doing any Land Rovery stuff?
No.
Have you not? Have you managed to avoid it all Christmas break?
Well, yeah.
Did you get any Land Rovery presents?
I got some. Land Rover socks.
Did you?
Well, did I not get any other Land Rover presents? Now, do you know what? I don't think I did. Oh. Do you know what? I think all my family just assume I've got everything Land Rover-y, so they don't actually bother.
It's a pretty...
They don't bother with Land Rover stuff.
I think that's a fairly decent assumption, actually.
Yeah. Although I did get Land Rover presents, because Lauren from Aquarius Wheel Covers sent me a hoodie.
Oh, very nice.
In fact, I sent a new one as well.
Oh.
Spoiled the surprise now.
You have spoiled the surprise.
So I'll deliver that to you next week.
I'm all right with it, though. Thanks, Lauren. That's very kind of you.
So if she's listening.
I got a pair of windproof, waterproof coveralls. You know, like overalls that you wear to work on cars and that?
Yeah.
They're them, but they're completely waterproof and windproof, which is...
So you can come and help me do my Land Rover in the rain in the yard and not get...
Well, you stand in the garage and moan about the weather.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Me married.
Yeah, unheard of, isn't it? Absolutely unheard of, Steve.
No, I do need to go and clean my Land Rover now it's back, because we did the off-road course, didn't we, at Newbury?
Yes.
New video, live.
If you haven't already seen me ninja kick a tree, you're missing out.
It's... Attempt to ninja kick a tree.
Yeah, that's. I probably oversold you did slightly. Sorry.
By the way, you owe me a fiver.
Yeah, I do owe you a fiver.
That's proven on the video.
Yeah, that's true. we did have an absolutely cracking time setting out the off-road course. We've still got a bit more work to do, but the first instalment, first of four.
We got that much footage that there's going to be four parts to the video. So part one's out now. And then next Friday, or Friday coming, will be part two, which I've not even seen the episode of that. So he's put that together. And, it's now sponsored. The off-road course is sponsored by our friends at Terra Firma.
Yes, very exciting. Obviously, Eddie from Terra Firma was there helping us set up the off-road course and imparting his years and years of knowledge on such things. And, really, really exciting news. They've decided to come on board and sponsor it.
So that's big news. So that's all their branding is all over the video. So it looks fantastic.
Definitely.
Check it out. 12 minutes of entertainment.
Yeah, it's quite funny watching it back. It's sort of things that you forget happened, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it was a busy couple of days, wasn't it?
It was full on, but then we got that much footage, we couldn't just compile it into one video.
Yeah.
And there's enough, because obviously we've got the bomb hole and the elephant's footprints to be featured. We've only just done the first recce.
The extent of the excavation works. Started a small mine. No, it's exciting.
It's fun, but I do need to clean my Land Rover.
Yeah,
I just parked it up and that was that.
The poor old Series 3, bless it. Obviously, we had a little bump, so it needs a bumper and I need to massage the wing back into shape. But because the Discovery 5 was being dropped off, I needed to free up a space, so the poor Series 3 has gone right down the garden and it's just been festering down there, to be honest.
To be fair, though, I can see it now from your kitchen window. It looks quite cool down there. The backdrop of the fields.
Yeah, it looks cool, but don't get too close because it's still covered in Newbury mud.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's...
It's supposed to be covered in mud.
I need to bring it back up and pressure wash it off. I did have the pressure washer out yesterday to do the Discovery 5 and I remembered how much I enjoy pressure washing. It's very satisfying.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it is. I cleaned up my all that concrete in my yard the other day
to do
the halfway. And on Christmas Eve, everyone else was there eating mince pies and I was cracking on.
Yeah.
Spent a good 2 or 3 hours. Really good.
Do you use any kind of detergent or do you just pressure wash it with water?
Just with water.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
I've got two things on there. I've got a Karcher K4.
Yeah, mine's a K4.
Pressure washer. And you've got...
The swirly round one.
The swirly round one. Don't get it on your feet. If you've got wellies on and you go over your foot with it, it hurts.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never used it.
That's for cleaning like block paving or concrete.
Right.
It's really powerful.
Oh.
Yeah, really good. Don't like do wood with it or anything like this. I've got my gate, it's gone green, so I went quickly over it and it starts to splinter the wood up.
Really?
It starts to...
Oh, crikey.
Made the wood all sort of like...
I've only ever used mine for cars and Land Rovers and...
No, really good things, the K4.
I'm impressed with mine. I just wish the hose for the Lance was longer.
Do you know, you just go, right, it's top tip here. The Karcher and a lot of press watchers have that hard plastic line. Infuriates me.
Keeps its shape, doesn't it?
It's crap. Go and change it. You can go online now. eBay, Amazon. You can go and get a different hose.
Right.
With the connectors on.
Right.
And you just change them yourself.
Oh, so right.
I've got a rubber one.
That's a good idea.
It lays better.
Yeah, that's the only thing. It stays curly.
And it's annoying. It gets hooked up. Mm. But the longer they are, the less pressure I think you get at the other end.
That makes sense. Yeah.
So don't go too long, but you can get a longer one that's made of rubber that actually... Yeah. It lays better and you don't get hooked up on things.
Got you. Interesting.
Yeah, well, inexpensive modification.
Upgrade.
Yeah.
Yeah, good stuff.
I can't get my words out today.
No, you're out of practice with podcasts, I reckon.
I'm out of practice with talking, I think, to anyone.
It probably all peopled out from Christmas. So you see a lot of people that you don't normally see and then you yap and yap and yap and it burns you out.
Do you know, I'm probably the opposite. I don't think I've spoken much.
What?
Yeah. A whole week of not talking.
Don't believe that for a minute. Should we have another quick listener's question / feedback?
Yes, please.
Jonathan Ben has emailed. He says, "Hi, Martin and Steve. I've listened to every podcast from the beginning. Always makes me laugh and widens my Land Rover knowledge. I'm a subscriber of LRM and before that Land Rover owner going back many years. I'm also a member of the Camel Trophy Club. I'd love to drive up for your big Land Rover Fest and give my roof tent its first outing." Well, we'd love to have you. "My daily driver is a Discovery 1 300 TDI. Undoubtedly the best powertrain." Yes, absolutely. Top work, Jonathan.
Yeah, I have to agree, to be fair.
"With 330,000 kilometres on the clock." See? Quality engine. "Mm. I'm based in southwest France, so rust is less of an issue and it flies for its MOT equivalent. Happily, between my daughter and myself, I've finally persuaded my son-in-law to come into the fold and he's just bought a diesel Freelander 2 from 2007. A fine vintage. My podcast question is, where do you think new Defender resale prices will be in a few years? Will it be more in line with Range Rover resale pricing? It wouldn't seem to be a vehicle that DIY mechanics will want to pull apart and modify unless they fancy tackling the complicated electrics. Have JLR consigned the Defender to the crusher when they're too old to warrant repair?" And he also says, "Working on buying a lightweight to add to my collection. I also own an immaculate, never restored Jaguar Mark II.
Up your street.
Keep up the hilarity, interspersed with nuggets of wisdom. Jonathan Ben." Oh, very nice of you to email, Jonathan. Thank you for that. That's a great question. First of all, great vehicle, Discovery 1 300 TDI. Sounds like you're living the
really
dream.
Really good. Like, yeah, with a Jag as well thrown in.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. An enviable fleet. Question regarding new Defender resale prices and will they become uneconomical to repair? That's a fantastic question.
Well, I've been having a look, because you do over Christmas.
Sure.
Like, you know, when you create your own fictitious garage.
Yes, all the time.
Yeah, all the time. And I can't see the prices dipping anytime soon. They're still too desirable.
Yes.
You see the price that they're holding? They're really holding their own.
Still, I think the cheapest one's about 35 grand, isn't it?
Yeah, what, like a commercial 90s?
Like a 2020 model, maybe even a four-cylinder. They're still above 30,000 quid.
That's a lot of money.
Mm.
So I would have expected by now to see them in the 20s.
Yes.
But they're not.
Well, while it seems like they've been being produced for a long time, they still only are 5, coming up 6 years old, aren't they?
I wonder if they'll do a model refresh.
They've just done the 26 model year, but they didn't change a great deal.
Yeah, not enough of a change, though, to make it like...
No.
You know, like Discovery 4 to Discovery 5, for example.
Oh, no, different. Oh, no, it'll be...
They haven't changed
I think it'll be a long while. I'm more intrigued to see what they're going to do with next generation of Discovery, to be honest, because that's due a lot sooner, and I don't know where they're going to go, what direction they're going to head in.
No, I don't.
With regards to Fender, I think, like anything, DIYers will start to tinker with them more. I think, yes, they're really quite complex cars, but then...
So is an L322.
Yeah.
And yet...
And actually, back in the day, people would say that P38s weren't DIYable, and now anyone can do anything on them, pretty much, apart from some, you know... It's
when something leaves that dealer network, when enthusiasts and expert kind of like, you know, like garages, like, what's the best? I can't even think now.
Like independent specialists.
Independent specialists. So they'll start to get workarounds. And aftermarket parts supply gets bigger and better.
Yeah.
I don't think a new Defender will get that cheap.
It's a really interesting... But when you look at...
But then when they do get cheap, you're going to have all the running costs of a premium car.
Plus, we don't know what the landscape's going to look like regarding tax and things like that and all that jazz by the time they get cheap enough. I always said when they get to about 15, I would look at buying one.
15,000?
Yeah.
Which is probably about 15 years old as well.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
It is a great question. I do believe people will start working on them themselves more.
Certainly in the enthusiast sector, but then they're still in that dealer thing, aren't they? I've not seen any kind of like independent, not obviously there'll be independent garages, but general car repair garages don't touch.
No, I don't. I think a lot of general garages, village garages, and that aren't. They don't want to work on Land Rovers, from what I hear, and they would much rather point you in the direction of a specialist. But, crikey, will they be able to pull apart? I think so. We've run a series of guides in LRM when I first started on the mag, actually, about upgrading L663 with rock sliders and winch bumper and all that sort of thing. That, while in depth, is you would be able to do stuff like that at home.
Mm.
Would you want to do timing chains on the engine, or would you want to do repair a faulty control module at home? Probably not. But there's companies out there that you could send that off to, like Discovery 3, the instrument pack issues.
Yeah, so if you can take them off, you can send them to a specialist.
Yeah, so I do believe they will carry on going. I think everyone who says, like, don't get me wrong, I think a lot of the real bargain basement brands which are churning out EVs at the moment, they probably won't last.
No, they're more than an appliance.
Yes.
Are you thinking like cars like BYDs and stuff like
that? Yeah. But
JQ
and stuff. I don't think they will last nearly as long as a premium product like a JQ.
No, I think they're still going to be too desirable for too many years.
And I don't think that the enthusiasm's there for people to want to get involved in fixing them. But I do think there is for Defender.
Again, because you can own that Defender. It's a bit like the old Defender. You can use it to tow with. You can use it for expeditions. You can go camping. It's family. There's multiple uses for that one vehicle.
Definitely.
It's like the ultimate vehicle, really.
Well, again, you mentioned L322, anything like that. Discovery 3, for instance, they were like mind-blowingly technical and complex when they first came out. But when you break them down into chunks,
yeah,
if you've got an issue with something, air suspension on a D3 was like
been well documented,
losing their minds over how complicated it was. But actually, it's not when you break it down. And like you say, everything's so well documented now, including in, of course, the tech pages of LRM. You can do it yourself, and you can save money on garage bills. And if you want to own it as an enthusiast car, go for it. And I think that will be the same case for the new Defender at some point.
Okay. Interesting, right? So, you know, we talk about Ingenium engines blowing up.
No, we don't, do we?
I mean, that's well documented, as you know.
Yeah.
I was watching something on one of the Instagram reels or TikTok or something the other day. One of these garages, you know, they go around and they ask the guys, what car would you most not drive?
Oh,
and they
yeah.
go, anything with JLR on it, da 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 da. This guy, I forget the garage now, he's fairly young and he's obviously quite big on social media. He had a Discovery Sport in for service. It was hanging, to be fair.
Right.
The under trays were hanging off by only held on by one screw and nice. just stuff. He goes, this is needs work. And he goes, I just wouldn't touch this car with a barge pole. Like, it's horrendous. And he said that if you must buy yourself one of these, buy a Velar.
Really?
Because the Ingenium engine is Longitude.
Right.
And apparently,
yes,
according to this expert on TikTok, it was TikTok, I'm sure it was TikTok.
Probably.
Said that they're better. Is that true?
Right. I've heard a rumour.
Okay.
I haven't heard it. So I believe it. In theory, it makes sense. The Ingenium engine, its emissions package was designed for it to be longitudinal, i.e. running the length of the car.
Okay.
So like a TD5 in a Defender or a TDV6 in a Discovery 3.
Yeah.
And as part of that, the DPF was designed to be packaged very close to the engine so that it got the exhaust gas.
You just mentioned this now, thinking about it, yes.
The exhaust gas at its very hottest, because as soon as it leaves the turbocharger, it's still hot. If you mount the DPF downstream of the exhaust, like it is on cars with the Ingenium mounted transversely, like on Discovery Sport, Evoque, that.
Yeah, because he was saying about you're going to get turbo problems, EGR problems and all of that, because it's not.
So, as I say, this rumour is that when they decided to fit the Ingenium transversely, so between the front wheels,
yes,
across the width of the car, they couldn't mount a DPF as close to the engine as it was designed to be. So they mounted it further downstream, which meant instead of using the natural heat of the exhaust, it needed more diesel to be injected to keep the exhaust gas temperatures up in order for it to be effective. And to do that, they didn't use an exhaust mounted injector. They basically upped the duty cycle of the injectors in the engine, which is where the oil dilution comes from and where all the wear comes from. Now, as I say, this is rumour.
Of course.
But when you think about it logically, it does make an awful lot of sense.
Yeah, this guy, I think his garage is known for working on stuff like that. But general cars.
Yeah.
You know, the other guy had a beef with BMW and someone else had beef with something else. You know, they all have their quirks. But he said the F-Pace is, if you're going to buy something, buy the Jaguar F-Pace, not the Discovery Sport.
Right.
Because of the longitude engine.
Yeah.
There you go. As I know, I was just, you know, you just watch this doom scrolling on stuff and you know, this looks interesting.
Yeah.
And I just thought, I'd run it by you.
Well,
because you'll know.
As I say, I have heard the same thing, and from a technical point of view, it does make total sense because you're essentially, you're piling loads of diesel into the cylinders, which then washes into your oil, which then dilutes your oil, and the oil doesn't get changed regularly enough because the service schedules are that much longer. And yeah,
that, fun enough, that was one of his tips about the Discovery Sport, is that don't stick to their service.
No.
Just get it done every 10,000 miles.
Absolutely.
Change your oil more frequently. But people don't.
Exactly.
And if you're buying a car that hasn't happened,
the damage is already done.
Yeah. So buy new and service it yourself every 8,000 to 10,000 miles.
Basically.
You'd be okay.
Yes. But, yeah.
Unless you know who's owned it before you.
Finding the right parts for your Land Rover or Range Rover shouldn't be an off-road challenge. At bnh4x4.com, we've built a smarter way to get you back on track. Our new website is now live, the simple, fast and reliable way to find the parts and accessories you need. Supplying quality parts for Defender 1983 to 2016, Discovery 1, 2, 3 and 4, Range Rover Sport 2005 to 2013 with Range Rover P38A and L322 coming soon. All parts are backed by expert knowledge, quick delivery and a 2-year quality guarantee. Visit bmh4x4.com, built by enthusiasts for enthusiasts.
But this is it. How many have actually been looked after meticulously and not just, the message has come up on the dash, it must need a service now? Hardly any of
them. That's the problem with cars that are driven by non-enthusiasts.
Yeah,
and she was the car. Yeah, that's the problem. Or they're just not in tune with driving.
And to be honest, you know, Joe blogs on the street who wants a nice car, who wants to buy a Discovery Sport for his family or whatever, it isn't really his job to get it serviced every at half the schedule that anyone tells you to have it done, that the dashboard tells you to have it done.
No, of course, yeah.
Yeah, if you leave it 6 months after it's been telling you it needs a service, then that's your problem. But it shouldn't be your problem if you get it done on time. That's why it's a...
Yes.
It's a bit of a nasty subject.
Yeah. But no, it's only because, you know, you get bored over Christmas and I was looking at this stuff. Thinking,
you should have been out in the shed getting your flipping Land Rover done.
I know that. Well, I was half with family and stuff like that. You know,
they could have helped you.
Yeah, not from where I was. I
helped you, mate.
Up to Yorkshire.
Oh, I see. Right. Yeah. Got you. Yeah, that, I suppose that is a valid.
So I was away.
Yeah, got you.
So, yeah.
Anyway, enough doom and gloom. Tomorrow is New Year's Day. So if you're listening now, when the podcast goes live, or in fact tomorrow, or in fact at the beginning of the new year, Happy New Year from everyone at LRM.
Yeah, I can't believe it's another year of podcasting for us.
I know. And we haven't missed a week yet.
We nearly did, though, this week, didn't we? We were like, when are we going to get one in?
Yeah,
so hence why I've come to your house.
Yeah, no. No, it's good. It's good. Keeping momentum up. It's good fun. And when you go out and actually do stuff, you've got so much more to talk about. I'm really going to be gutted to see the back of that Discovery 5, as most people are, because they don't like the offset number plate. But when it goes back, I'll miss it.
You will, because you're going to have to address the elephant in the room. You're a Freelander too.
The elephant in the room?
Well, it's noisy turbo and stuff.
Well, you know.
Have you driven that recently?
Yeah, I drove this morning.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Went and picked up some bulbs for it. You may notice my wife hasn't taken the Freelander to work today, and that's because one of the headlight bulbs has gone, so she left it. I thought I had one in the... I was out in the garage 7 o'clock this morning looking for a H7 bulb to fit it before she took it to work, but alas, I'd let my stocks get low, so I had to pop out and get one.
You do see a lot of cars at this time of year with only one headlamp.
I don't know how people don't notice.
Well, most of the cars tell you anyway.
Yeah.
But I obsess about bulbs. Like, I want to make sure everything goes. And I saw some people that are taking their cars to MOT with a bulb out. You think, surely that's a simple check.
Yeah. So I don't know if it's because people genuinely don't notice. They don't see the... they don't see the difference, or they don't drive up to any big windows and see, oh, I've got a headlight out. Or if they do actually know they've got a headlight out, but they just don't have time or inclination to go and get it done.
Mm. No, obviously you should get it done immediately.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, especially the driver's side.
Or the thing that annoys me more than people who drive around with a headlight gone is people who drive around with a headlight gone, and because they've got a headlight bulb,
put the main beam on.
They drive everywhere with main beam on.
Brilliant. Yeah, that's yeah, happens a lot as well.
Way to make your own issue someone else's problem, you idiot.
Well, it was foggy like 3 weeks ago, and the fog light's still on.
Oh, yeah. I bet it's not so much of a problem now, fog lights, because people used to drive around, didn't they? They think front fog lights look really cool, so they'd drive around with the fog light on.
Like the early touring car days.
Yeah, I suppose so.
That was where it was from.
But a lot of cars, obviously, because you have to have the rear fog light on to have the front fog lights on, you're driving around with your front and rear fogs on.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so like on Discovery 3, pull the headlight switch out one click and it puts the rear fog light on. You put it out two clicks, it puts the fronts on as well.
Right, okay.
But yeah, what was it? DRLs. The absolute bane of my life. People who think that you jump in the car, you start driving. The front of the load's lit up, so my headlights must be
on. And the dash is already lit up.
But they're driving in the dark or in fog nothing on the back of their car because the DRLs are... I don't understand the point of DRLs, to be perfectly honest. Just use side lights. Or fit them all round rather than just on the front.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like,
it drives me mad. But
I just think, you know, like you see 90s and Defenders when they shouldn't have daytime road lights, but now they have them.
Oh, yeah, people have fitted newer headlights.
No, as in...
in the bumper.
DRLs in the bumper.
Yes.
I just think... I saw an early 90 the other day, actually, at DRLs, but it didn't suit it. The car was too old. The car was too... It wasn't a modern...
Yeah, yeah, I see what you're saying.
Defender.
I don't know, honestly. I do know the ones you mean, the little square ones in the bumpers.
Yeah,
that's it. They can look smart, but like I think I agree with you in that if you fitted them on a really old
wouldn't look right.
They probably wouldn't look right. No. But
yeah, it was something like that I saw that had them in. I thought, oh, no.
Not to your taste.
Not to my taste.
No, fair enough.
Each of their own.
Absolutely, yeah. Mm. That's the delight of Land Rovers is you can do whatever you like.
So we've got quite a year coming up, haven't we? We've got enough events going on.
We need to make the most of our... few days off before we get back into the swing of things, Stevie, because it's going to be a jam-packed 2026.
So as we go back on Monday the 5th, is it?
Yeah, the 5th, yeah.
Yeah. Ooh.
Boom, straight into it. Magazine to go to press. Events to organise.
Yeah. The first one being Malvern.
Yep.
Which is the Spares Day.
Yep, Malvern Spares Day, followed by Ripon and then finished by Newbury. Have I got it the right way around?
Yes, you do, yeah. In fact, Newbury's the one to watch out for, in 2026, because usually it's the first Sunday of April.
Yes, good because birthday this year.
Because it's bank holiday, it's the last Sunday of March. Ah. So if you are listening to this and you always just assume it's not, it's the last Sunday of March this year.
Well worth noting.
April 2026.
Definitely. So yeah, 3 months, 3 spares days, February, March, April. Then LRM live in
February and 2 in March.
Oh yeah, you literally just said that, didn't you?
See how you're getting caught out?
I was definitely listening.
Then in May,
LRM live.
Yeah,
3 county showground at Malvern.
Yeah, a lot of people said, "Oh, because you got a new one in Newbury, does that mean that Malvern's no longer?"
No, LRM live's still alive and kicking.
Yeah, it's banging.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, we wouldn't say goodbye to that shooting.
Definitely not.
We love it.
Yeah.
So that's all in May. Then we've got Billing in June.
Yes, indeed. Yep. Billing off-road show.
Last weekend of June.
Yep.
We'll be there. Salmon Safe is going to make three appearances next year.
The Salmon Safe is going to be busy, isn't it?
Yeah. It's great. It hasn't moved for like 30 years. No, it's been out. It's been out for once. So far. It's going to go out three more times.
Yeah. The Salmon Safe. We'll start charging a booking fee for the Salmon Safe, I think. Yeah. Get it out and about. See more of the country than I have. Yeah, and then, of course, LRM Fest in July.
In July.
11th and 12th at Newbury, which, in fact, if you're going to the Spares Day at Newbury, you'll get a sneak peek at some of the off-road course, probably.
Yeah, you will. You'll best see the bomb hole and the elephant's footprints.
And the house cat's back.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, it's all exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, we're going on another trip down there.
Yeah, we do. There's also going to be, someone asked on Facebook, actually, if there was going to be radio control Land Rovers. And yes, there is. We're going to build a dedicated course next to the big off-road course. You can bring your own RC Land Rover and have a go around that. And there might be a couple of loans on hand as well. So if you want to go, maybe you haven't bought one yet, there'll be a couple of spares kicking about you can have a go with.
Yeah, it'd be really good, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be quite exciting. Ah, something I will say, actually. Someone there, I think it was on YouTube, mentioned tyres on the off-road course.
Yes.
And whether road tyres versus muds and all-terrains. Obviously, I went around with all-terrains because that's what my Land Rover's fitted in. You went around with muds. But the course is designed that road tyres will be...
Sufficient. Yeah.
And if they're not sufficient, because, say, it's rained, there will be people on hand to tow you out.
Yeah.
Or to advise, or to give you hints and tips.
We have... Yeah, I mean, it looks pretty gnarly on the video, but we have developed a course to be attainable and doable by a standard Land Rover with road tyres. Obviously, we're hoping it's going to be a lot drier in July than it is in December. But yes, like you say, it will be fully marshalled. And if you need any help or any recovery, in the unlikely event that you do need recovering, there'll be plenty of people to help. So don't worry.
And for those who don't want to go through bomb hole, elephant's footprints is bypass.
Yes, bypass route.
So you don't have to do all of the gnarly stuff.
No, it's totally up to you, up to your
discretion. Just put it out there.
No, it was a good point.
We will reply to the YouTube comments at some point.
Yes.
When we're back next week, but...
Absolutely.
In time.
You should definitely subscribe to the YouTube channel, because like I say, we've got three more installments on the off-road course build and plenty of other stuff happening this year, so check it out. And also, events newsletter every month, accessories, we've got... all the best new products coming at you in your inbox every single month. So you sign up to the newsletter as well, because it's decent stuff. And also we'll tell you all about the latest issue when that comes out as well.
And vehicles for sale, more importantly.
Oh, yes.
Test yourself with a new Land Rover for 2026.
Definitely. Yeah, there's plenty of good stuff on the go. In fact, the new issue comes out in a couple of days.
Yeah, I've seen a sneak preview of that, actually.
Yeah, you wouldn't have done.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was good.
You'll have to wait, though, because I'm not going to let on what it's got in it. It's a great issue, but I'm not going to tell you. No, I can remember, but I'm not going to shout about it yet. Sorry.
So no feature of the week this week?
No, I'll launch it on social media and we'll talk about it there.
That's all about next week.
Yeah, exactly that.
Do you reckon you'll buy a Land Rover, another Land Rover in the next 12 months?
So I was thinking about this yesterday.
Even by accident.
I think I'm done with buying them for the moment. But okay. This always happens. The right thing will come up and then I'll find a way of making it happen.
Yeah, this is the thing.
Like when I bought the Series 3, I wasn't looking for a Series at the time, but it came up, it was the right deal when I had to sell my turbocharged Freelander to buy it, but it found me.
Well, that 110 did, really.
The most 110. Yeah, exactly. Well, that was fate. We've told that story 100 times. But I wasn't actively looking I was kind of half looking for an early coiler, but there just happened to be one at the guy's workshop that I was visiting that day, and I couldn't leave it where it was. So, but no, I think now that conversion is nearly done, I just want to drive that more. And that's what I said to my mate the other day. I want to buy less this year, but I want to do more. So I want to go on more trips and things like that.
Yes. Same for me, really. I've missed out on trips.
Yeah.
Like I should have come to Wales, but I was away. So,
yeah, a cracking time, mate.
Yeah.
Good bunch of people.
Mm. I've never done straight forward, you see. So
yeah, it's a cracking. Do you know what? I was so encouraged to see on Strata, because unfortunately, the honeypot lanes, as they're called, where people go flock from all over the country to visit them, they do unfortunately attract people who can't control themselves and they go off piste and dig the place up. On Strata Florida, they have barricaded a lot of the off-piste stuff and a lot of the, in inverted brackets, alternative routes. So they make it blindingly obvious where you should be driving and where you shouldn't be driving.
Okay.
And everyone we saw that day was sticking to it and driving really well. And it was really, really nice to see that many people out enjoying that green lane, both in 4x4s and on trail bikes.
Oh, nice.
And doing so, having a great time, but not wrecking the place. And if everyone can carry on doing that, green laning's got a bright future, because if they can't, it definitely hasn't. Because last time I did Strata and the Wayfarer, it was chaos. It was horrible to see the countryside cut up as badly as it was by people who probably, you know, just wanted to get a video or impress their mates for 30 seconds of their life, but leave a huge lasting scar on the landscape.
Yeah, they will easily, we will easily lose it if we don't look after them.
Yeah, but as I say, everyone that I saw, and there's a lot of people out there, and really, really nice Land Rovers as well, and a really good variety of stuff. Very early
one. I missed out, man.
You did, you should have come. There was, yeah, really, really cool. The guy actually messaged me on Instagram and said, oh, I saw you on Strata and the other day. A really cool, really early red 110 high cap. Pretty standard, very, very nice. Lots of discoveries of all shapes and sizes. I can't remember if I saw any series. But yeah, really, really good time. Definitely do Strata Florida and do it responsibly. Keep it open and usable for everyone, because that's what it's all about.
I think that's about it, isn't it, for this week?
I think we'll wrap it up, won't we? We'll go and finish my 110.
Well, you can go and finish 110. I'm going to go home.
Okay, fine. Yeah. Be that way. Cool. All right, well, as always, Instagram, Land Rover Martin for me, Steve Miller Automotive for you.
Yeah.
Follow LRM at Land Rover Monthly. Sign up to the newsletter, follow us on YouTube and all that jazz. And we will see you. Oh, Happy New Year once again.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy New Year. And yeah, we'll unveil some more show goodness.
Yes, we'll be
in a coming podcast.
Dropping teasers about Fest on the build up to it. So yes, thank you ever so much for listening. Have a cracking New Year. Don't do anything we wouldn't do. And we'll catch you on the next one.
Bye for now.